morning. I don't know if you've noticed, a few people are missing from our midst this day. The Appalachian Service Project team, I understand, arrived safely at West Virginia State University last night, and they continued on, and I bet they are there and settled in by now in Lincoln County, West Virginia. Reverend Lee and Reverend Ron are with them, and I am driving out right after the service to join up with them. So I ask that you keep them in your prayers this whole week. If you've been sticking around our church for the last few Sundays, you've probably seen this slide before. This is our sermon series for June and July as we talk about all the core values and what we believe is important about being part of our church family. We're not doing a real pop culture bent this week, this sermon series, but we're using the title from a TV show, This Is Us, to talk about, as the family of God, the family of Christ, what is it that we believe in? So we've had this family motto up here, and I like to think of it as a family motto, not just like a church value statement, but as a family motto, as the church family, what is it that we believe in? And this is us. We are people who live fully, who welcome openly, who worship authentically, who teach creatively, and on and on and on. We are an active people, actively loving and serving and following God in every step of our lives. So it is that today we come to this topic of giving generously. And so as I meditated on this scripture this week, I started to think about this idea of giving as another way of thinking about love. And as I heard this scripture last service and this service and the 8 o'clock service this morning, I just kept thinking to myself, what if we talked about love as a form of giving in this scripture? This text says, beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God. What if you subbed that in with saying, let us give to one another, for giving comes from God, for God has given to us. God has given to us so freely this day, and that's why we have all that we have, and that's why we are called to give and love in return. Let's pray. God, for all the blessings that you have poured out on us, thanks be to you. I ask at this time, as I open up your word and as I speak upon it, that it may not be my words, but it may be your words. God, whether through me or in spite of me, speak to your children this day, that we might all be swept up in your generous spirit, the spirit of love. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today's scripture is, I admit, one of my favorites. And that line that I keep returning to over and over is, let us love one another because love comes from God. This scripture comes from the book of 1 John, which is one of the many, many letters in the second half of our Bible in the New Testament there. And it was written by a pastor. It's written by a pastor to a bunch of churches. We traditionally think of it as John the Apostle who wrote it, but it was written by a pastor in about 90 AD. And we think it was written to a community of house churches in a bunch of different neighboring towns and villages and so on. I think that it's safe to say that this letter speaks to us just as much as it spoke to them in that day, because I think they were facing a lot of the same things that we're facing today. See, because in the year 90, I don't know if you've brushed up on your Jewish history recently, but in the year 90, that's just 2 decades after the fall of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. And I know that doesn't seem like a huge deal, you know, 2,000 years later, but the Jewish temple in Jerusalem was the location where God existed. And so for it to be destroyed by the Roman Empire, that meant a change in the whole landscape of faith for these people. So just 2 decades later, people are still asking these questions. They're saying, now that the temple has been destroyed, we're living into this new era. What does it mean to follow God? They were looking at their changing world all around them and saying, church doesn't look like what it used to look like. How am I supposed to follow Jesus now? They lived in a world where there was conflict in the church and conflict outside of the church, where there was fear of schism and fear of arguments, and in all this, Pastor John, I like to think of it, writes a letter to the church, encouraging them to love one another. I don't know about you, but I can relate to that. I can relate to the situation of that church in 90 AD, facing all these hardships, looking at a changing world, trying to figure out how to live. And so these words speak to me, and I hope they speak to you this day. Words of a pastor from the first century saying, love one another, because love comes from God, because God is love. Now, when I hear this scripture, it makes me think of where it came from, but it also makes me think of two other things, I must admit. And one is weddings, and the other is the movie Pay It Forward. So, I wonder, I don't know how we'll do here, but how many of you have seen the movie Pay It Forward? Have you seen this movie? Okay, we're doing all right. You will still be able to keep up with me, even if you've never seen this movie before. The movie Pay It Forward came out in the year 2000. It features Kevin Spacey as this social studies teacher who encourages his students. He gives them this assignment. He says, come up with an idea that can change the world and then put it into action. He says, this is your assignment all year long because you need to engage with the world. And so he has a young student in his class named Trevor, who comes up with this idea that he calls paying it forward. I think it's like this ultimate pyramid scheme of love and generosity. But he comes up with this idea as a way to change the world. I think we have a clip explaining what paying it forward means.
What's paying it forward?
That's me. That's three people.
Paying it forward, he says. That's my idea to change the world. Love passing from one person to the next, from 1 to 3 to 9 to 27 to, I can't count that high. He says he's challenged by his class because that's an overly utopian idea, it's an idea that would only work in a perfect world, right? But thanks be to God that God's making this world perfect and God is making the kingdom of God present right here on earth. And so we have that hope. And it's not like it won't work if God makes it work. And so it is that in this movie, person after person finds their lives changed by random strangers. Trevor goes and brings a homeless man in to live in his garage for a little while, and then that guy helps someone else who helps someone else who helps someone else, and time after time, strangers help strangers and just ask for nothing in return except that they would take the opportunity to pay it forward if they get the chance. This scripture makes me think of this movie because, in a way, this is the pay it forward scripture. This scripture places God right at the top of the pyramid scheme. God is the one who starts the whole thing going. God pours out love, not just onto three people, but onto every single person. God doesn't ask us to do anything God hasn't already done, but God sets quite an example in his son Jesus, who gives and gives so generously that he gives everything that he has just so that we might know life and life abundant. The text says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us and has given us his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's the kind of love we've received. That's the kind of generosity that God shows us. That's the kind of thing that we're called to pay forward to everyone that we meet. Now, I told you that this scripture makes me think of the movie Pay It Forward, and it also makes me think of weddings. And for those of you who don't know, yesterday I had the opportunity to be the officiant at my sister-in-law's wedding, my husband's younger sister, Emma, the bride there in that picture. And so weddings are on my mind today as I talk to you about this scripture. So I want to tell you about two couples. One is Emma and Aaron. It was such a joy to be out there at West River. This is a picture out on the point, at Vesper Point at West River. And it was such a joy to be with family and just celebrate the wedding and the new season of life that Emma and Aaron are entering into and choosing for themselves at this time. But I want to tell you more about Emma and Aaron because things have not always been all roses and sunshine for them. So, see, the thing is to know about Emma and Aaron is for as long as I have known my husband, his younger sister has been struggling with chronic pain. And that's kind of an understatement for her. The fact of life is for Emma is that between all the diagnoses and misdiagnoses, hospital visits are a really regular occurrence in her life. The doctors keep struggling to treat things and not being able to diagnose things, and so on and on it goes. And till about 4 years ago, Emma had to step down from her job as a medical assistant because she just wasn't able to hold on to it with all that was going on health-wise for her. After a few years, she finally got on disability, but life is still really hard for her and for Aaron. And I'm not telling you this because I want a lot of sympathy for them. That's not my point. The reason I tell you about Emma and Aaron is I want you to understand what I mean when I say that they just don't have a lot. They just don't have a lot in their lives. And what little they have is stretched really thin between financial resources and just energy level, getting through the day with all the chronic things that they're going through. They just don't have a lot. But I want to tell you about them not just to tell you that, but to tell you that they are some of the most generous people that I know. I really got to see this community that surrounds them in action yesterday as they came to bless their marriage. And it reminded me just of their generosity and their love. See, because Emma has, because she has this chronic pain, she sometimes just can't get out of bed in the morning. But when she can, Emma's not the type of person who will just kind of sit in her pain. Emma takes her extra energy that she has, what little she has, and spends her time crafting and putting together little care packages to send off to other people that she's only met online who also go through chronic pain issues. And so what little she has, what little extra energy she has, what little extra resources she has, she uses to give and give it away to other people who are facing maybe even harder situations than her. Maybe it's just a little encouraging notes. Maybe it's a little colorful nail polish. Maybe it's painted signs or a painted picture for them. But what she has, Emma gives away in love. But that's not the only thing that blows me away about her and Aaron. Because see, over the last couple years, time and time again, Matthew and I have watched them take in their friends who just don't have much either. And I'm not talking about just like people who are passing through Baltimore and need a place to stay. No, Emma and Aaron are the type of people who, if their friend needs to crash on a couch for 2 months while they save up for a security deposit, they will let a friend move in with them. And they have, time and time again. For a few weeks, for a few months. They just do this because that's the kind of people that they are. There's the kind of people who are going to show up when you need them, who aren't going to walk out on a friend. The scripture says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God." And I'm not telling you all this just so I can brag on my sister and my new brother-in-law, but I'm telling you this because this is one picture of what it looks like to show the love that God has given us. Emma and Aaron have found that love in each other, and they've received God's love poured into them through their families, but they've chosen to give it away and to give it freely time and time again, giving generously so that others may know God's love. There's another young couple that I want to introduce you to named Brooke and Sarah, and these two inspire me to be generous too. I first met Brooke when he was a shy sixth grader who wouldn't talk to me because I was a girl. And I was the one who was there to babysit his younger sisters back when I was in high school and starting college. Brooke has obviously grown up a lot since then. He's now recently graduated from Virginia Tech with honors and recently commissioned to be an Army officer. And recently engaged to Sarah, and they're getting married this October. But the reason why I want to introduce you to Brooke and Sarah on this day, not just because weddings are on my mind, but because they are showing generosity and love in a way that is blowing me away. See, Sarah and Brooke met on summer staff for Appalachian Service Project. When our teams go to the ASP Center, see, there's a set of college staff to meet them there, who's already done the groundwork of meeting all the residents and setting things up at the different homes. And so Brooke and Sarah, when they were in college, were on that summer staff, and that's where they met and fell in love and got to know one another. They bonded through serving God's people and caring for God's children and teaching other people how to love and to serve. And so when they sent out their wedding invitations just a few weeks ago, they included this little note with it. And I'm going to read it because I know the type is small up there. But they sent a note that said, "No gifts, please. We met and laughed and fell in love doing home repair and rehab for folks. It's something that we enjoy doing as a couple, and our lives have been enriched by the people we have worked with and served." And so they said, "Therefore, as you feel so moved, we ask that you make a donation at our reception to our community home repair fund. These funds will enable us to continue to serve community members, regardless of where in the country we may be or what organizations are available for us to serve through. Thanks, Sarah and Brooke." Friends, the scripture says that if we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. And usually, when you talk about love at a wedding, it's all centered on the couple. The couple loves one another, and I know I was blessed in my wedding to have folks just support us by making sure we had enough plates to eat off of and giving us good things like cookie sheets and brownie pans off our registry. And that love is usually focused on the couple as they start their new season of life together. But the reason why I look up to Brooke and Sarah is that they know that God's love is not just a thing that's between the two of them. They know God's love isn't about collecting and storing it up. They know God's love isn't meant to be bottled up and contained. No, they know that God lives when they love one another. They know that God's love has no boundaries, and God's love reaches across the world, no matter where Brooke's going to be sent by the Army. They want to show God's love. That's how God's love is perfected in us, when we give so generously what we have received. Friends, I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder whether my generosity even matters. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in this question to say, you know, I know I've been blessed by so much. I know God has given me so much, but can't I just say a really good thank you to God and then live my life in peace, try to budget well and keep up with the bills? But today, as we think about this text and as we think about giving generously, I am moved once again by these stories, by Emma and Aaron and by Brooke and Sarah, because they remind me that love isn't designed to stop right here. God's love isn't designed to stay with me. No, they show me how God's love is designed to pass from person to person to person, spreading like that crazy pay-it-forward love pyramid scheme, spreading like a wildfire of the Spirit, uncontainable generosity and grace upon grace upon grace. So my prayer for you this day is pretty simple. My prayer for you this day is that you would be caught up in this crazy love pyramid scheme. My prayer for you is that you would know and receive the extravagant generosity of God, a God who loves to give you what you need, loves to provide for you, loves to show you the next step in your journey. My prayer is that you would know and receive that grace, that love given freely without strings attached. And then my prayer for you is that you would be so moved by God's generosity that you would not be able to help doing anything else but paying it forward, spreading that love and generosity to everyone you meet. Amen.